I preached on this psalm not more than a year ago, but if I'm preaching on the Psalter a lot this summer, it's hard to leave out the big 2-3. This one is familiar even to people who never picked up a holy book in their lives. It's familiar to people who have never met a real shepherd or a sheep or even come close. It's so often read at funerals, both Christian and Jewish funerals, because people find such comfort in the words. But this psalm is about life. As one commentator says, Psalm 23 puts mundane daily activities, such as eating and drinking and seeking security, in a radically God-centered perspective that challenges our usual ways of thinking. So let's spend a little time with these words, which are maybe so familiar that we don't always hear their depth. To begin, in ancient Near East culture, kings were commonly referred to as the shepherds of their people. So this psalm not only affirms that the Lord is our shepherd, but that the Lord is our shepherd. Not any earthly ruler or any earthly desire, not any president or queen or dictator, not capitalism or socialism or consumerism. God is our shepherd. And this shepherd not only provides for the sheep, but provides abundantly, extravagantly even. The sheep lack nothing. And this divine shepherd goes above and beyond what any human shepherd can do. Green pastures and still waters are one thing. Soul restoring is quite another. The psalmist sings of God's care and of God's ability and desire to rebuild our souls after we have faced hardship, loss, fear, degradation, any of the many things that can eat away at our very being. Then there's that puzzling image of the table where the beloved is to eat and drink under the hostile and perhaps hungry eyes of her foes, which sounds kind of like an invitation to gloat. Ha ha, I'm feasting and you are not. So I at least need to shake off that image and replace it with a more generous one. In the midst of battle, perhaps battle with those shadowy forces of despair, disease, or death, a table is laid, an invitation extended. Come, eat, find sustenance, find company, find grace. The Good Shepherd has become the bountiful host. And the right path will lead the sheep guest all the way home to, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, a building from God, a house not made with hands. There is comfort here, yes. But also challenge. Does the Good Shepherd provide what the sheep merely wants? Or what the sheep actually needs? Will we keep hankering after everything the world tells us we need to be complete? Or say no, no more chasing after bright, shiny objects. God is with me, always. That's enough for me. And what's up with the rod and the staff? Oh, sure, shepherds use them to fend off predators, but also to keep the sheep in line. God will protect us, but God is not averse to giving us a gentle nudge or even a sharp thwack to prevent us from wandering off the path or dragging us back on if we have strayed. Because frankly, sheep are not all that bright, and they're remarkably prone to wander. And sheep don't provide their own green pastures. Sheep, domesticated sheep anyway, are totally dependent creatures. And maybe that's the point. When we insist on living do-it-yourself lives, we will always be restless. Always be searching for more. When we accept, embrace that we are totally reliant upon God, we can begin to bask in the beauty of that lush pasture and trust in God's care, even when the way grows scary. Sheep are also sociable animals. Even wild sheep travel in flocks for warmth, for protection, and for company. Sheep tend to follow the leader, whether that's the shepherd or the first dumb sheep to mosey off somewhere. God is the good shepherd, but we can still look out for other sheep. The very least we can do is not lead them astray or go after them when they get lost, like God does. Most translations say something like, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." But it might be more accurate to say, "Goodness and mercy shall pursue me all of my life." Quite an image. God not just trotting along after us, keeping us in sight, but actively chasing after us with goodness and mercy, with love. Did you see in the news recently the story of the Chinese man who, encouraged by his wife, traveled across his country by motorbike for 24 years, searching for their son, who was kidnapped at the age of 2. 24 years and 10 motorcycles later, last week, Mr. Guo Guangtang was at long last reunited with his son, whom he'd refused to give up on finding even after all those years. That is relentless, pursuing love. Now, on the other hand, I don't want to make God sound like a stalker. The Good Shepherd is not in the business of hunting down people like prey, though I think God does find people who only thought they didn't want to be found, or even had no idea that they were lost. But this is a psalm for those who realize that they're lost or who have been lost and then been found. It's a psalm that celebrates invigorating, reviving abundance, those calm, inviting waters, those cool, green pastures, that bountiful table and overflowing cup. But it's also a song for perilous days and circumstances, with this assurance that God is there in the frightening and shadowy places and will lead us safely home. Psalm 23 is the song of someone who's clearly faced adversity, yet come to know and trust in the abundant providence of God. It's a realistic, hard-earned song of absolute confidence in God. It's a good psalm for funerals, but not just for funerals. It's a psalm for celebrations of refreshment and restoration, and a psalm of comfort in the midst of trouble. Reassurance that God won't abandon us. When we lose our way, God will not give up on us. It's a psalm for us all, for every day and circumstance. You could say this psalm is an affirmation of faith, or a pledge of allegiance, if you will. There may be so many things I doubt in my life, but I can say with assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. I may have money problems and challenges, but I can refuse to chase after things I don't really need. And I don't really want, after all. I might toss and turn some nights worried about so much, but I can affirm, in God, I find peace. COVID still makes us nervous, but we can be sure. If God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Our hearts break for those ravaged by natural and human-made disasters and oppressive systems, but we can proclaim in trust. You might be damaged and aching and frightened now, but God will restore your very soul. We shouldn't need to wait for a funeral to proclaim that word of the Lord. To God alone be the glory. Amen.